Ephesians chapter 4. Want to read verses 1 through 6 again. I'm going to pick up where we left off, hopefully, on last night. I'm going to speak part 2 on God's platform of unity. We still believe that God is a God of unity. We believe that the Bible is a book of unity. And because of the God of unity has given us a book of unity, then we believe that the people of God ought to be a people of unity. Paul says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. When you look at this scripture, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. I want to just remind you that the Godhead is a part of this text. When he talks about the unity of the Spirit, he goes on to say there is one body and one Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one Spirit. Then he said there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Jesus Christ is the one Lord. And in verse number 6, he said, there is one God and Father. So if you will look at this, you see God the Father, you see God the Son, and you see God the Holy Spirit. You need to understand from the outset of this message that we are to strive to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, if you will look closely at the text, he tells us to endeavor to keep the unity. He does not tell us to make the unity. The unity has already been made. It is up to us to keep what God has made. Too many people in religion, they are trying to make the unity. God does not teach us to make it. God teaches us to keep it. Now, when I look at this word unity, actually this word unity comes from the Greek word henotes. That word henotes is unanimity. It is oneness. And we need to understand that God wants oneness out of his people. God doesn't want us walking different ways. God has given us one way to walk. And every person must strive to walk that way. You remember we told you last night, back there in Jeremiah 32 and verse 39, and I will give them one heart and one way. God has not given us many ways because God wants us to be one. We talked last night about God's prediction of oneness. We talked last night about Christ's promise of oneness. We talked last night about the Apostle Paul's or Jesus' prayer of oneness and the Apostle Paul's plea for oneness. So we are going to pick up with the plea, because I believe tonight that when we talk about oneness, we must talk about what God has already placed in the scripture. Now keep in mind in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10, the Bible said, now I beseech you, brethren. Am I correct about it?
Yes.
Now notice what the book says.
Now I beseech you,
brethren, by the name of our Lord
Jesus Christ,
that ye all speak
the same thing,
and that there be no division
among you,
but that ye be perfectly
joined together
in the same mind
and in the same judgment.
Now notice, just for a moment. The Bible said that ye all speak the same thing. God wants every preacher to speak the same thing. God does not want us speaking different things. Because if we speak different things, then people will hear different things. And if people hear different things, people will believe different things. And if people believe different things, people will obey different things. And when people obey different things, then people become different things. So God wants us all to speak the same thing so that we can all hear the same thing. So that we can all believe the same thing. So that we can all obey the same thing. And so that we can all become the same thing. So what is my job tonight? My job is to speak what they spoke. Jude in verse number 3. I said my job is to speak what they spoke. I cannot speak what I want to speak and please the Lord, or whatever it is that the apostles and prophets spoke in New Testament times. That's what we must speak. The Bible says, beloved,
When I gave all diligence to write unto you
of the common salvation,
it was needful for me to write unto you
and exhort ye
that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Which was once delivered unto the saints.
Now notice, this faith is singular. The faith. You remember in our opening text, one Lord, one faith. So whatever they spoke, that's what we must speak. This faith was given once and for all. God is not still adding to it. It has been delivered. It has been once delivered. This word once carries the same idea. Go to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 28. I said this word once carries the same idea in this text. Hebrews 9 verse 28.
So Christ was once offered. To bear the sins of men, and unto them that look for him to appear the second time.
Now, how many times was Christ offered?
Once.
Christ was offered once. Do we still look for him to be offered again? He was offered once. Now, the faith was delivered once. Don't look for anything new. God is not going to send another sacrifice. Go to Hebrews 10 and verse number 26. Listen to what the book says.
The book said,
if we sin willfully,
After that we have received
the knowledge of the truth,
there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. For sin. Now notice, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Who is our sacrifice for sin? Christ is our sacrifice for sin. So the Hebrew writer is saying, if you don't accept Christ, there is not another that's coming. There isn't another sacrifice that's going to be offered. Christ is it, and we have to accept Christ. Now, since there is one sacrifice, that tells me He gave us one faith. He's not going to give us another. If we don't accept the one faith, we are going to be in trouble, because there is not another coming. Oh, I know what the Muslims say. The Muslims say, go over to John 16. And or rather, let's stop off at verse 14. And verse number 26. Let me tell you what the Muslims say. In John 14:26. The Bible said,
But the Comforter,
which is the Holy Ghost,
whom the Father will send in my name,
He shall teach you all things,
and bring all things to your remembrance,
whatsoever I have said unto you. Now the Muslims say, that the Comforter here is Muhammad, the Praised One. They say this word, a comforter, is really from the word of parakletos. And this word, parakletos, which simply means comforter, they took it and said, well, the original word is parakletos, and that means it's the Praised One. And they say that's Muhammad. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now notice, Jesus talks about giving another Comforter, but He's not talking about giving another covenant. He's not talking about giving another covenant. He's talking about giving another Comforter. And you see, when He talks about another, go to John chapter 16, and we're going to see this. I'll be finished in a few minutes. Go up to verse number 7. The Bible says,
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth.
It is expedient for you
that I go away.
For if I go not away,
the Comforter will not come unto you.
But if I depart,
I will send him unto you.
Now notice, Jesus said, if I don't go away, then the Comforter will not come. Now go over to John 16. You're at verse 13. The Bible said,
When the Spirit of truth is come,
He will guide you into all truth.
For he shall not speak of himself.
But whatsoever he shall hear,
that shall he speak.
And he will show you things to come. Now notice, Jesus is talking to the apostles. Did you catch it? Jesus is saying, when the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, is come, He will guide you. Now watch this. This passage could not be talking about Muhammad, because when Muhammad came, about 600, 500 plus years later, the apostles were not here. So Muhammad didn't teach the apostles anything. They were already gone when he got here. So he couldn't have been telling them that Muhammad would guide them into all truth. As a matter of fact, he was not talking about Muhammad at all, because Muhammad had too much flesh and blood. Jesus said, the Spirit. Isn't that right? Well, I just thought I'd drop that, and I'm moving right along. Because when you look at that word another comes two ways. Number one, it comes from a Greek word, Allah. And then number two, not Allah. Please don't misunderstand me. That's A-L-L-O-S. All right? Now, that means of the same kind. But then there's another word that's called heteros. And heteros means of a different kind. So what Jesus is saying, when he sends another comforter, he's sending one of the same kind. He's sending one back just like himself. He was God down here, and when the Holy Ghost comes, he's God. So I'm sending one of the same kind. Did you catch it? Now when he talks about heteros, that's one of a different kind. So when he sends another comforter, he's not sending one of a different kind. He's sending one. Now you got that. I mean, it doesn't take a PhD to catch that. So what is he trying to tell us? The comforter is coming. Now there isn't but one faith. So don't believe in this stuff about the Holy Quran. It's a continuation of the Bible. The Holy Quran is not a continuation of the Bible. It's not a part of the Bible at all. So Muhammad is not in the Bible. Yes, Jesus is in the Quran because Muhammad read the Bible. Now, I'd put him in there too. Isn't that all right? Now notice something tonight. You need to understand when it comes down to your salvation, the Father is calling you, the seeking you, the Son is seeking you, calling you, and the Holy Spirit is seeking you, calling you. Go to John chapter 4 and verse 23. Now keep in mind, you need to keep this in mind. The Bible said that we all what? Speak
the same thing.
Let me show you about your salvation, how the Godhead is concerned about your salvation. In John 4:23.
But the hour cometh. And now is. When the true worshippers
shall worship the Father.
In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh. Such to worship him.
So what is the Father doing? He's seeking. Go to Luke chapter 19. Verse number 10. Then go to Revelation 22. And verse 17. I'm just trying to bring about the unity that the Bible talks about into your understanding. You need to understand this unity. The Godhead is in unity because every member is seeking to save your soul. Listen to the book.
For the Son of Man,
that's Christ, is come
to seek and to save.
And to save
that which was lost.
That which is lost. Now what is he doing?
Seeking.
He's seeking. And he's calling. Every person of the Godhead is seeking and calling. Revelation 22 and verse number 17. The Bible said.
And the Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
And the Bride.
And the Bride.
Say come. And let him that heareth.
Say come.
And let him that is athirst come.
Come.
And whosoever will. Let him take of the water of life freely.
Now the Spirit says come.
Yeah.
So what is the Spirit doing? He's seeking. Just like the Son and the Father are seeking. But then he said, the Bride says come. Now that's when we get in here. Did you hear me? Go to Revelation 21 and verse number 9. I said, that's when we get in here. In other words, we ought to take up while the Holy Spirit left off. The Father is seeking. Christ is seeking. The Holy Spirit is seeking. And the church of Christ is seeking. Revelation 21 and verse 9.
And there came unto me
one of the seven angels
which had the seven vials
full of the seven last plagues
and talked with me
saying,
Come hither.
I will show thee.
The bride.
The Lamb's wife. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Well, the Lamb's wife is the church. Jesus is married to the church. So tonight, the Church of Christ here in Patrick City is seeking your salvation. And we all must speak the same thing. Now, I told you on last night from Romans 16 and verse 16, there was unity among the churches of Christ. So I need to pick up right there. I need to show you in this text, verse 17. We'll start at 16. I've already talked about it, but I want to show you verse 17. The Bible says, I'm in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. The Bible says,
Now I beseech you,
brethren,
mark them
which cause divisions
and offenses
contrary to the doctrine
which ye have learned
and avoid them. Now notice, he said, mark them which cause division. Am I correct about it? Now in verse 16, he said, churches of Christ. There was unity among churches of Christ. He intended for that unity to continue existing. Now notice, if we all speak the same thing, then churches of Christ will continue in unity.
Amen.
Now notice, if Patrick City continues to speak what the Bible speaks, and Independent City continues to speak what the Bible speaks, and Mona continues to speak what the Bible speaks, I've just named three different locations, but the same one church. Are you paying attention? We get in trouble when Mona starts speaking something else. When Independent City starts speaking something else. When Patrick City starts speaking something else. But if we all speak the same thing, we will all remain one. Am I correct about it?
Right.
Well, this word division, that's D, cost, stay, seer. D, cost, a, seer. Now, this word unity, it really means disunion. Now, notice, when you stop being in unity, you start becoming a part of a disunity. Now, another word for division gives us the word split or gap. God does not want a gap among his people. God does not want a split among his people. God does not want disunity among his people. God wants all of his people to be one. And anybody that teaches a doctrine that's not according to the one faith is a person that causes disunity, a gap, or a split.
Amen.
Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned,
and avoid
them. When men come teaching doctrine that are not according to the word, he tells us, number one, mark them, and number two, avoid them. Go to 2 John 9. I need to work on this. Somebody needs to see it. If you don't see this, you're going to have problems trying to obey what you need to obey. And I know a lot of people in religion, They feel like if a man claims that he's from the Lord, we ought to just accept him based on his claim. But that's not true. 2 John in verse 9, the Bible said,
whosoever
transgresseth
and
abideth not
in the doctrine of
in
Christ,
the doctrine of Christ
hath not God.
Hath not God. Wait a minute. I don't want to run over that. I don't want you to miss it. If we read it too quickly, we'll run over it. The Bible says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine
of Christ
hath not
God.
If you don't live by and in or through the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God.
Amen.
People are arguing, well, you know, I think there's some Christians in all the churches. The Bible says if you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God.
That's right.
The question here, are they abiding in the doctrine of Christ? You just can't make up stuff and say the Lord said it.
That's right.
And call that the doctrine of Christ. But notice what he said after that.
He that abideth
in the doctrine of Christ.
He had both.
The Father and the Son. Wait. If you don't abide, if you do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, you do not have God. But notice the benefits of having God. You don't just have God the Father. You have God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ has both.
The Father and the Son.
The Father and
the Son.
Now what does that do for people who say that there is only one person in the Godhead? The Bible said we have both. Now if there is only one person in the Godhead, you can't have both. Isn't that in the book? So don't get mad with me. I'm just reading the book. Have you ever got mad with the paper boy? Because he threw the paper up against your house. You read the paper. Don't get mad with what's in the paper and take it out on the paper boy.
That's right.
You know what a paper boy is? I got to make sure you know what he is. I might be over in a place they don't know about paper boys. But you know what it is? So when you get the paper, don't get mad with the paper boy. All he's doing is delivering you your paper. I am God's paper boy. This is not my paper. This readership came from God. That's God's paper. So why are you getting mad with me? I'm just reading you the paper. The paper said he had both the Father
and the Son.
But notice this. Watch the next verse. Notice this.
If
he didn't say they were coming, but just in case they do. If
there come any
unto you.
And bring not
this doctrine. Receive
him not
into your house.
Neither bid him
Godspeed. Wait a minute. What doctrine? What are you talking about? I'm talking about the same doctrine in verse number 9 that's in verse number 10. The doctrine of Christ. And let me just tell you good people something. is not talking about the doctrine about the nature of Christ. It's talking about the teachings of Christ. It's not just talking about the personhood of Christ. It's talking about all the practical teachings of Christ. So don't let people fool you. Well, honey, it's talking about his deity. Yes, but it's talking about more than his deity. It's talking about all of it. Yeah, that reminds me, you know, there was a pig and a chicken walking down the street. And man, as the pig and the chicken were walking down the street, man, they looked up and saw a sign. And that sign read, ham and eggs for breakfast. And all of a sudden that pig started running. And the chicken couldn't figure it out. Why is this pig running? Man, that chicken caught up with him and he said, Mr. Pig, why are you running like that? Mr. Pig said, well, man, didn't you read that sign? That sign said ham and egg for breakfast. He said, now, for you to give some egg, that's a sacrifice. But for me to give some ham, that's a total commitment. I said that to say this. When he talks about the doctrine of Christ, that's the total teaching of Christ. That's all of it. Not just the part you want, but all of it. I remember one time, man, there was a woman who had come to one of our little towns where I preached in Mississippi. And she was passing through as an evangelist and a miracle worker. Yes, she was. And you just don't come to my town and I don't show up. And I showed up. As a matter of fact, the woman had come to town. She was staying with a woman that was in a wheelchair. Now I need you to hear this. She was living with a woman that was in a wheelchair. The woman in the wheelchair had put her up to live at her house while she conducted her healing services. And I went in there and knocked on the door. And the lady greeted me. And I introduced myself as Darrell Holt, the preacher of the Highway 82 Church of Christ. And the lady was glad to see me. But then the lady preacher wasn't so glad to see me. But we had a little conversation. And the first question I asked the lady in the wheelchair, I said, ma'am, this is what I want to know from you. Has she tried to get you up out of that chair? Now, you all need to hear what I'm saying. Now, she can go out all under that tent every night and talk about healing folk. But here's a woman in a wheelchair that put her up, let her stay in her house every night. They would go out under the tent, but not one night did she try to get that crippled woman up out of that wheelchair because she knew that woman couldn't get out of that wheelchair. And I said, ma'am, you mean to tell me that this woman right here is trying to heal other folk? You let her stay in your house and she hadn't tried to get you out the wheelchair. Something is wrong with that. And then people think I'm mean. I do mean what I preach. If that's what you're talking about, yes, I am. Now, the Bible said, if there come any unto you and bring not this
doctrine.
Receive him not
into your house.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, this is what you have to understand about first century preaching. First century Christianity. In first century Christianity, there were evangelists. And these evangelists would go from place to place. They would travel, but they had no place to stay. So as they would travel and preach, people had to house them, put them up somewhere. Are you paying attention? So now John understood that. So John is saying to the people, now if there comes some traveling evangelist and he does not preach the doctrine of Christ, don't put him up. Don't let him come in. This has nothing to do with the Mormons knocking on your door. This has nothing to do with the Jehovah Witnesses knocking on your door. This has to do with a person who's teaching false doctrine, who comes to town and wants you to put them up, feed them, take care of them while they peddle that false doctrine. John said, don't do it. Has nothing to do with somebody knocking on your door saying, can I have a Bible study with you? You let them in. Teach them. Did you catch it? Don't be talking about what the Bible said. Receive them not. That's not what it means. What it means is, if one of these preachers teaching false doctrine comes from the States, like Benny Hinn, T.D. Jakes, Clifo Dollar, and all of these fellas, and they decide they want to stay with you, and they're teaching false doctrine, he's telling the Christian, don't let him live with you and preach that false doctrine. Notice, if thou come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker
of his evil deeds.
Somebody said, well, he's a preacher. How can he be evil? Honey, the doctrine that he teaches is so poison that it will cause your soul to be damned in a lake of fire. See, people don't like to talk about this stuff anymore. But we have to talk about it because it's right. And I know somebody would say, well, I don't see why he called those guys' name. Well, you hadn't been reading your Bible. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. You go to 3 John in verse 9. See, people, let's just, you're close to 3 John 9. 1 Timothy 1 and 18. The Bible says,
This charge
I commit unto thee,
son Timothy,
according to the prophecy
which went before on thee,
that thou by them
mightest warfare,
holding faith,
and a good conscience,
which some having put away
concerning faith,
have made shipwreck.
Of whom is Hymenaeus?
And Alexander.
Whom I have delivered unto Satan.
That they may learn not to blaspheme. Now let me ask a question. Paul was a preacher in the first century. Hymenaeus and Alexander were preachers in the first century. Didn't Paul call their name?
That's right.
Didn't Paul call their name? Well, then, when I call people's names today, why are you getting mad with me? Get mad with Paul. Yeah, you want to get mad with me because I call these false prophets out. Paul called them out. Paul wasn't by himself. Go to 3 John and verse 9. Watch John.
I wrote unto the church. But Diotrephes. Who loveth to have
the preeminence
among them
receiveth us not. Now notice what John did. John called them out. John said, Diotrephes. Yeah. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Now you going to tell it out your Bible? What are you going to do with it? He called names. Jesus called Herod a fox. In Luke 13, you going to tear that out your Bible? I mean, you have a pretty, pretty small Bible if you took out all the names they call when folk were teaching something false. I'm trying to get you to see. And a lot of times, you don't help people if you don't help them to see what they need to see. And sometimes we have to call names. Not only do we call names outside of the Church of Christ, we call names in it when they teach false doctrine. Isn't that right? Oh yes, the Bible is right. He said, don't receive them in your house. Don't bid them Godspeed. For if you do, you are a partaker of their evil deed. All of this false doctrine out here. And somebody needs to tell the truth. Go to Titus chapter 1. I'm going to get away from this plea. But in the midst of this plea, we are all supposed to speak what? The same thing. God doesn't want us dividing his people with different doctrines. In Titus 1, I want to read verse 9 first.
Holding fast. The faithful word.
The faithful word.
As he hath been taught. That he may be able. By sound doctrine. Both to exhort.
And to convince.
The gainsayer.
Wait a minute. If a man claims to be a bishop, an elder, or a presbyter, or a shepherd in the church, he must be able by sound doctrine both to convince the gainsayer. Anybody who stands against what the Bible teaches, we ought to stand up against them. People don't want us in churches of Christ standing up against people. You know, you heard of this guy in Los Angeles. The police beat him half to death, rotten the king. And he got up and said, can't we all get along? Well, I guess we all could get along if we all speak the same thing. We'll never all get along if we don't all speak the same thing. And I know people look at me and they say, I just can't believe. And a lady told me one time, she said, sir, I just can't believe you're that mean. I said, what are you talking about? I had a Church of Christ in the States, in Michigan. I want you to hear this. And I'm getting to verse 10, but I need you all to hear this. You see, I like to tell practical stories in my preaching. Because it helps people to understand that this stuff is actually happening. Now that was a joke with that pig and that chicken. Y'all did get that right. Maybe I need to tell you all when I'm joking and when I'm not. But this is not a joke. Where I preached. The North Central Church of Christ in Flint, Michigan had gotten together with the Bristol Road Church of Christ in Flint, Michigan. And we were coming together. We were going to put on a big youth rally to get all of the young people in the area together. Because we wanted a black and white working relationship. Are y'all paying attention? And as we were sitting around talking, making plans for it, somebody whispered in my ear and said, well, Brother Holt, you do know that they receive people into the Bristol Road Church of Christ without baptizing them, don't you? I said, no, I didn't know that. And I said, well, we need to talk about this before we finish this. Are y'all paying attention? And so I said to these guys, elders and the preacher, I said to them, you know, I'm hearing, I don't know if it's true or not, but maybe you all will let me know here today, that you all accept people into the Church of Christ without baptism. That is, if they come from a denominational church, you don't baptize them, you just accept them in. They said, well, some of them, not all of them, some of them. I said, well, we need to put this meeting on hold. And we need to talk about this. Are y'all paying attention?
I said, now we need to talk about this. I said, now what if we out there knocking on doors and we have a black person and a white person working and teaming together, and the black person knocks on the door and the white person starts talking, and then the white person starts teaching, and all of a sudden the person said, I want to be a Christian, and then the white person said, well, you don't have to be baptized again, just come on in. I know the black person standing there saying, well, wait a minute, we don't believe that. We believe you have to be baptized to get in. And now you arguing with the man at the door. You all arguing with each other. Now which one is it? So the man at the door decides, well, since y'all not together, surely I don't want to get with you all, because you all are divided. Now I want you to catch this. So they said, well, Brother Hope, what I think we need to do, we need to just get together in a private meeting. I said, that's fine with me. And so I went to that church building over there, and I sat down, man, and one of the elders looked at me. He said, Brother Holt, he said, man, I cannot believe that you are so hard on people. And man, tears were coming out of his eyes. And I looked back at him. I said, sir, I just can't believe you are so soft on the doctrine. Yes, I did. I told him just like that. And you know what? We never did have that meeting, because we couldn't get over that hurdle. And then finally, they wrote me a letter. And in the letter, they said that they believe that baptism is essential to salvation. Isn't that amazing? What I'm saying is this. You have to stand on the word of God and don't give it up. I don't care who opposes. I guess because I was dark-skinned, I supposed to just say, okay. No, the Church of Christ looks like this. You get it? They call polka dot. That's how we look. God doesn't save you just because you're white. And he doesn't save you just because you're black. The church looks like this. God is looking for people who love his word. Now notice, he said, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not.
For filthy lucre.
Hold it. I know why they do it, but hold it. He just told us they're doing it for money, but let me hold it. I want to tell you this. There's a church over in Morvant, Trinidad. I met the preacher, Brother Joey Griffith, Terrence Joey Griffith. And I was in St. Thomas, and Brother Joey asked me if I would come over to Trinidad and preach. And I said, yes. And then he said, well, I need you. And you all had his accent. I have to listen closely. He said, 3 weeks. I said, what? He wanted me to come for 3 weeks. But my schedule would not let me come for 3 weeks. So I went from August the 1st to August the 16th. I stayed as long as I could stay. But this church is in perhaps the poorest part of that island. This church, when I got there, they had not finished the church building the day I got there. They were putting the lights in. They were trying to work on the roof. They didn't have any money. No windows were in the building. I mean, they had to go and get some chairs from other places that they had to, you know, have this meeting. They didn't have any money. They told me, well, Brother Hope, we don't have any money. We just need you to come. And I said, I'll be there. I gave them my word. Well, something was happening in Los Angeles, California. They were getting ready to have a crusade for Christ in Los Angeles, California.
And the preacher called me and said, Brother Holt, we want you to come and be one of our speakers in a 2-week meeting at the crusade in Los Angeles. And boy, you know what my mind was thinking. Oh, if I can get to that crusade, I can leave there with a few dollars in my pocket. But I know over in Trinidad, I will not leave there with any dollars in my pocket. And so I have a decision to make. Am I going to tell Trinidad I'm not coming? Or am I going to go to Los Angeles and make me some money? Well, I told the preacher, I said, Preacher, I made a commitment to the people in Trinidad that I was coming and I'm going. He said to me, well, Brother Holt, if we change the dates, can you come to the crusade in Los Angeles? I said, if you change the dates, I can come. But if you don't change the dates, I'm going to Trinidad. You see, the money didn't matter to me. I've been at churches. I've preached under tents like this for 2 weeks. And when I finished, the preacher gave me $75. I've been in places. I've preached for folk. And we finish on Thursday night, and the preacher will come on Friday night, and the preacher will come on Thursday night, and he'll say, Brother Holt, we don't have any money. Are you all paying attention? You see, it's not about the money. I'm not worried about the money, because the Lord is going to take care of me. And the reason I don't worry, because I know this brother right here, every now and then I put on my brown suit, and then I put on that brown pretty tie and handkerchief that he gave me. You remember that? Hey, what you talking about? Man, you don't always need money. Some sister under this tent gave me a tomato. Man, you don't always need money. You need what you need when you need what you need. And I needed a tomato. Are you paying attention? See, a lot of people are preaching for that mighty dollar. That's the wrong reason. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not turning down any dollars. Now, you have some to give. Bring them. Just thought I'd tell you. I don't want you to run around here. Oh, Brother Hope preaches for nothing. No, I preach for Christ. I was preaching at a church, and I'll get back. Whose mouth must be stopped? I get back. I was preaching at a church. Man, listen. In the 90s, you're supposed to pay people with money. I see this guy drive up in a pickup truck. And in the back of this pickup truck, I see tomatoes. I see greens. I see Irish potatoes. I'm saying, no, he isn't. I'm about to go home and he brings me a truckload of stuff. Can you all imagine that? Hard as I work and I'm getting a truckload of vegetables. Notice, when it comes down to it, he said, whose mouth
must be stopped.
Must be stopped. As a gospel preacher, when people preach false doctrine, we must stop their mouth.
Amen. That's right.
You knew that was in the Bible, didn't you? That's what God calls on us to do, because we are all supposed to speak.
Amen.
I might have to do part 3 tomorrow night. We're all supposed to speak the same thing. Some people preach Christ for different reasons. Go to Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. But we must preach Christ because we love Christ. We must preach Christ because Christ died for us. We must preach Christ because we want fellowship with Christ. We can't preach any other thing. We must preach Christ. As a matter of fact, Paul said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's 1 Corinthians 2:2. We must preach Christ. In Philippians 1:15, the Bible says,
Some indeed preach Christ.
Preach Christ.
Even of envy.
Of envy.
And strife.
And strife.
And of
some. And of some
also of.
Also.
Of goodwill.
Of goodwill.
The one preach
Christ.
Of contention.
Of contention.
Not sincerely.
Supposing to add affliction.
To my bond.
But the other of love.
Knowing that I am set. For the defense of the gospel.
Now watch Paul. Paul says, now these guys know that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. So even though they don't preach Christ out of love, they know I am set for the defense of the gospel. Some of them preach Christ out of envy. Some of them preach Christ out of contention. Some of them preach Christ of goodwill. Some preach Christ out of love. But I'm glad they all preach Christ, because if they don't preach Christ, I'm set
for the defense of the gospel.
Did you catch it? Paul is saying, you can hate me all you want to, but when you preach, you better preach Christ, or you're going to have to deal with me. Now that Paul was a bold brother, wasn't he? Well, I'm his brother. Can I tell you about these two guys? And everybody in town wondered, what do they do? People just trying to figure out, what do they do? So one of the guys in the restaurant one morning said, when he comes in here, I'm going to find out. I'm tired of worrying about what he does. I'll ask him myself. Guy came in the restaurant, sat down, man. The waitress came over, poured his coffee. The guy got up and said, hey, man, I want to know something. All these people see you here every morning. We want to know, what do you do? He says, I'm a go-getter. He said, a go-getter, what is that? He said, every morning, my wife gets up, I get up, I take my wife to work, I come here, and when she gets off, I get up from here and go get her. So then the guy looked at the fella that was over there sitting beside him. He said, well, man, what do you do? He said, I'm with him. In other words, the Apostle Paul was a go-getter. And I'm with him. Amen. Brother Mitchell is a go-getter. And I'm with him. Amen. I'm with all the God's go-givers or go-getters. Because the truth must be told.
Amen.
There is a plea. This plea must continue to be seen, and everybody must speak the same thing. Yes, they all preach the same thing. I don't know how you all feel about this, but go to 1 Corinthians 1:18. I said, I'll do. And I know I got to get to this music before I leave here. I know that. But these sermons are getting kind of long, don't you all think? Man, it's hard for me to finish. But if you all just stay with me, we'll be all right. I may just go on and get one verse on each one of these and condense it so I can talk about this mechanical music tomorrow night. Is that all right with you all? You see, we're trying to cover a range of things so that people, when I leave here, will know where I stand, that I stand on God's word. I don't want anybody guessing whether or not this is the church of the Bible. The church of Christ is the church of the Bible. We are not with Christendom. We are with Christianity. Christendom is not a part of Christianity. New Testament Christianity can't be read in the New Testament of the Bible. Anybody who departs from that may be in Christendom, but they are not in Christianity. We need people to understand that God does not embrace all religious bodies. He is not pleased with all religious bodies. God had one body. That's why Paul said there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. What did you preach, Paul? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
But unto us which are saved,
it is the power of God.
It is the power
of God.
Of God. Now listen to this. For the preaching of the cross. Now wait. Is not the cross. It's the one who's on the cross.
Amen.
The preaching of the Christ is to them that perish.
Foolishness.
But unto us.
Which are saved. It is the power of God.
The power of God. You see, men have been dying on crosses for a long time on the Roman government system. But when Jesus died, it was not just the cross. It was the one on the cross. Because something happened on the cross. Some blood was shed on the cross. You see, that wood of the cross didn't have the power to save men from their sin. So God put the Christ on the wooden cross, and the Christ on the cross shed blood on the cross, and that put the power in the cross. You have to see the blood put the power in the plan. It was the blood that put the power in God's plan in order to save sinful man. You need to see the preaching of the Christ and the preaching of the cross. When Christ died on the cross in Acts 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made your overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. I'm trying to show you that somebody went to the cross, and that somebody was Christ. And when Christ went to the cross, there was some blood that came out on that cross. Well, in John 19, verses 33 and 34, the Bible said, when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his leg, but one of the soldiers with the spear
pierced his side,
and forthwith came there out blood
and water.
I need to know, Jesus, why did the blood come out? I want to tell you, if the blood had not come out, then the church of Christ could not come in. It took the blood to come out for the church of Christ to come in. And when the blood came out, the church of Christ came in. He took that same blood and purchased his church. In Ephesians 2, verse 14, for he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God
in one body
in One body.
By the cross.
By the cross.
Having slain the
enmity thereby. Jesus, while you're going to the cross, I need to go to the cross to shed my blood at the cross. Well, Jesus, why are you shedding your blood at the cross? I need to purchase my church. And when I purchase my church, I'm going to offer salvation for the whole world so the world can come in to my church and be saved. So when I see the blood coming out, I see the preaching of the cross. That blood put power in the plan. God has a plan. And in order for man to be saved, he must obey that plan. But in order to obey that plan, God had to put some power in that plan. And the blood of Christ was that power God put in that plan. I know without that blood, there would be no remission of sin. Without that blood, there would be no salvation for the world. And when Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood on the cross that he might reconcile Jews and Gentiles in one body by the cross. What are you preaching, Paul? Paul said, 1:18 of 1 Corinthians 1, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. Now notice, he said the preaching of the cross. He did not say, notice, he said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. He didn't say we are saved by the foolishness of the preaching.
Amen. Amen.
No. He did not say that it's foolishness in preaching.
That's right. That's right.
That's saved. It's the preaching. Read it again.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved.
He didn't tell us to preach foolishness. When you say a man can be saved without the church of Christ, that's preaching foolishness.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He didn't say preach foolishness. He said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, what you say, it's the power of God. If you tell people you can be saved without the church, saved without baptism, saved without obedience, that's foolishness.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not preaching foolishness. It's the foolishness of preaching. It's not the preaching of foolishness.
That's right.
Did you catch it? Now, you know, intellectuals will come under this tent and say, now that is so foolish. That man standing under that tent hollering at all these people. That is foolishness. That's intellectuals. But to those of us who are saved, we are still hollering, preach some more.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
I preach Jesus so much. And I want you all to hear this. I preach Jesus so much. I preach that two congregations where two little girls in different congregations call me Jesus. Walk up to me, walk up to me. Hey, Jesus. Man, they heard me preach Jesus so much, they thought my name was Jesus. Isn't that amazing? God wants us to preach Christ. Oh, I taught them better. But we need to understand that salvation is in Christ, and God has a plan to get us in Christ. The first century church practiced what they preached.
Amen.
And when they got off, the apostles put them back on.
Amen.
And that's what we have to do today.
Amen.
What is it that you are looking for? God's platform of unity has seven ones in it. One body. One spirit. One hope. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God. God's platform has seven ones, and every one of them is essential. Necessary. Now, how can you believe it? There is one God, but believe many bodies.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen.
How can you believe there is one God? There is one faith. There is one Lord, one baptism, one spirit, one hope, but believe there are many bodies. No, baby, if you're going to be consistent, you must believe one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father. If you believe anything other than that, guess what? You are disrupting God's platform of unity. Now, what does it take for you to be saved? It takes obedience to God's plan. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Romans heard. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the Romans believe. Romans 2:4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearing and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So the Romans repented. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the Romans confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, the Romans were baptized. Well, if the Romans heard the gospel, believed it, repented of sin, confessed Jesus Christ, and were baptized, what church did they get in? Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ. Salute you. That's why Christ shed his blood to put power in the plan to save man. There's power in the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, the blood put the power in this plan. And that's why you must be baptized in order to contact the blood of Christ so it can wash your sins away. I'm finished. I want to talk some more. But I want you back tomorrow night too. Talking about the Christians now. Because I do believe that when you show your faith, people who are not Christians will want to follow you. So we want to do this thing together. You want to be saved tonight? You're in this audience. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. Man, tell me about what about this you didn't get? Tell it to me. Help me. Because I want to help everybody. We're not trying to belittle anybody. You know what I found out a long time ago? I found out this. There's a difference between big folks and little folks. You see, big folks talk about things and ideas. Little folks talk about other folks. Got it? So I'm not trying to belittle you. I'm simply trying to get you to see the biblical teachings.
Amen. Amen.
Because that's what will save your soul. See, it's not about how good you feel. Because a lot of time, man, I feel bad. But I know I'm all right because I'm in Christ. See, we have to be optimistic. Even though things are not always the way we want them to be, we know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. See, we have too many pessimists in the world. They're afraid of everything. Well, if I get in this church of Christ, people are going to talk about me. People are going to do this. Let me tell you something. Be an optimist. Obey the Lord and then just say, hey, I believe I'm going to get to heaven. See, don't be like these two buckets. You know, two buckets went to a well, and man, one bucket say, you know, man, I get tired of going to that well because every time I go to that well, I leave full, and then I come back empty. And the other bucket said, well, man, I tell you, I love going to the well because every time, man, I come back empty, I leave full. Now I'm trying to figure out. When you come here, how do you leave? How do you leave when you leave here? See, you leave here full. And let me tell you something, what you can do when you're full. You don't have to, man, eat too much when you're full. When the Word of God is in you and you are full. Y'all heard of this little word called nibble? You can nibble a little bit and then get right back full. Right? So this is what I want you all to do. When you leave here tonight full, you know, before you get back, pick up the Bible, read a little, nibble a little bit. That'll keep you full till you get back. And you come back full. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What's your desire tonight? Do you want Christ? I've said enough. Do you want to be saved? Do you have the courage to come? Don't worry about people talking. Folk are going to always talk about you. Whether you do good or bad, they're going to talk. But let them talk about you as you obey the gospel of Christ. That's how I'm going to leave it. Say what you want to about me. I love the Lord. I'm going to obey Him. You want to be saved tonight? Let people say what they want to say. But you give your life to Jesus. And I'll tell you this. If you believe that you're going to have some problem with some people when you get in the church of Christ, we're going to tell you tonight. Let us know. We'll go with you. And confront anybody. I did this. I had a young man baptized him. Baptized him. He said, now I want you to go with me to my former pastor. I said, yes, sir, let's go. I baptized him and went over there to the guy's house and I introduced myself. And then the guy said, well, nice to meet you. I said, well, I just want to let you know that we just baptized one of your members and he won't be coming back. And people say, so people think something wrong with me. Really, people really think I got a mental problem. And I might have. I mean, I might. But it's mentally on the Bible. I might. Something really might be wrong with me. But I'm so glad that it's on the Bible. Now, I may have some problems. As a matter of fact, they took me to a wholeness doctor. And she put that thing on my head, man, and hooked up her little machine, and she started telling me about myself. And when she finished, I took that thing off and said, I'm going back and preach Jesus. I might have a problem. I don't know. You want to be a Christian? That's the best problem that you could ever have. It was a problem for the apostles. They were persecuted for it, but it was the best problem they ever had. Come on, get this problem. Come on, get this Christian problem. Hey, come on to Jesus. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. I've said enough. Come on to Jesus. He's calling for you. He's calling for you.